Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and I want you to join with me as we face the issues. Remember, this is a audience participation program. We invite, we encourage your calls. You can call us at 904-401-1413. That's 401-1413. If you'd like to join in the discussion, if you would like to ask a biblical question, theological, doctrinal, or something relative to the society in which we're living in, what you'd call moral ethical issues, are those things that are taking place in our city. We invite you to call us and let's have dialogue and discussion on it. May I remind us of something very special this Sunday in our church. We're celebrating God and Country Day. We do that each July the 4th for our Independence Day celebration. This year on this Sunday, which by the way is the 3rd, if you are not looking at your calendar, with Monday being the 4th, but July the 3rd here at First Conservative Baptist Church, we'll have the Grove Family Singers gospel singing group that does a fantastic job with singing the old-fashioned gospel songs and some of the patriotic favorites of all of us. And then we'll have the reenactment of Patrick Henry's famous speech, where you may recall some of the final words, "Give me liberty or give me death." Mostly not aware of the fact that there's about 22 minutes in that speech, and Patrick Henry in his reenactment will be bringing that to us. May I remind us, as we look at these issues and we talk about facing the issues, we do so from the Word of God. Remember that Jesus himself said, "Thy word is truth," in John 17:17. He said in John 8:31-32, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It's the truth, as we're broadcasting on the Truth Radio Network. We're thankful for this station, for the privilege we have of speaking the truth. Remember, the Bible is not something that contains the truth. The Bible is truth. Regardless of what the media may say, or the politicians or society itself may respond to us, we seek answers, truth, and wisdom, and that's from God's Word. And we remind you also this Sunday of that special event that's taking place at 10 o'clock following the Grove Family Singers and then the Patrick Henry reenactment speech. There will be a special message from the Word of God, at which time we'll be looking at the warnings from the Scripture of where we are as a nation, where we've come from, what we've accomplished under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, and how we're losing it because of turning our backs on God. Then we'll go back into the Fellowship Center and enjoy a barbecue lunch together. We're looking forward to that. And let me remind you also, for First Conservative Baptist Church, we're looking for between 6 and 10 summer interns. Summer interns. Maybe that you're in college and you have the summer off. Maybe that you're looking for a future of ministry in some fashion. And those are the ones, you're the ones that we're talking about to serve as interns. It can be in the teen years or in the early 20s or later, depending on your position in life. Looking for someone that will do transcription of text, keyboarding, building and grounds, computer and technology, evangelism, Sunday school, pulpit training, but in those categories, and the church will provide a reasonable stipend, plus you'll receive 100% tuition scholarship for Conservative Theological University for your Bible college tuition to be taken care of for you. Remember, if you want to join in, we've got several hot topics that we're going to be talking about shortly, 401-1413, and may I remind us, for the first three callers, the first three that call in with your questions or comments, we're offering today a free book, Is Islam Tolerant? And that's kind of a rhetorical question. I had the privilege of publishing the book a few years back, 25 chapters, and in the 25 chapters, it deals with succinctly that Islam is, in fact, intolerant. Some of the chapter divisions, by the way, in this book, by the way, the book retails for $20, but it's yours free, and we'll even pay the postage for the first three callers that call in with your questions or comments or dialogue on the subject. It covers things like Islam and Allah. Who is Allah? Islam and the Quran. What is the Quran? How did it come about? Islam and abrogation, how they can take one new Quran and it abrogates the previous one. Islam and the Holy Bible. What do they think about your Bible and mine? Islam and deception. Islam and Jesus. What do they say about Jesus? They deny that Jesus Christ is, in fact, divinity. They deny that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. Then Islam and the crucifixion. 25 chapters. Wonderful reading. You can read each chapter independently and separate from the other chapters on the subject that you're interested in to get a good, if you will, overview of the wicked, evil, horrific dangers of Islam. There are a lot of folks who will not say that, but I'm your friend, and I want you to understand that. Islam is the most wicked, evil, dangerous, destructive religion on the face of the globe. And may I remind us to be very, very careful in the realization that what we're seeing on a global basis, what we saw recently in Orlando, is as a result of the wicked, evil heart of Islam that is touted in Washington as being a peaceful religion. You hear folks say, well, you know, Islam is a peaceful religion, but their religion, the peaceful religion, has been hijacked. It's only by those that have somehow been radicalized. It's only by those that are the wild-eyed jihadists that cause these problems. No, if they believe the Quran, if they believe that Allah is God, if they believe that Muhammad is his prophet, if they do the five prayers a day, if they believe that they need to obey what the Quran says, they are out to kill, tear down, and destroy on a global basis to bring about ultimate global domination. That's the goal for Islam. May I remind us, in recent hours, in fact, down in Turkey or over in Turkey, we understand that the jihadist terrorists have killed dozens of people and injured some 230-plus people. In fact, Jay Sekulow with the ACLJ, that's the American Center for Law and Justice, said this, and let me quote Jay Sekulow. Let's be clear. The enemy we face wants to destroy us. They want to obliterate Israel. They want to eradicate Christianity. They want to dominate the whole world through holy war called jihad, end quote. I don't think it could have been more succinctly stated than that. I don't think that it could have been said any clearer than that. And there are a number of folks, even among Christians, some perhaps listening, I would invite your call, like to have some dialogue and discussion with you on it. Some of the most castigating, wicked, evil statements that I've had made to me in person or by way of email or otherwise from those supposed Christians that will call or make a statement or send an email and say, I'm a Christian, but, and then they want to take me to task because of my honest assessment of the book that is called the Quran, which is an evil, wicked, demonic ideology, not a religion, that 87% deals with the wicked, evil ideology of wanting to dominate the globe at whatever the cost. So may I remind us, there are a lot of Christians that are misinformed, and some of that comes out of the Rick Warren philosophy out of Saddleback Community Church in California, where Rick Warren has the imams, the Islamic imams, to come in and have the call to prayer from his pulpit, that will have the imams teaching his people in their church that Islam and Christianity are sister religions. Couldn't be any greater lie spawned out of the pits of hell than for that to be said. And yet we have a lot of Christians confused as a result of it. Islam is wicked, evil. It is not peaceful by any stretch of the imagination. This is why we must be careful with who we put in office this November. Listen very carefully. There's some that get a little uptight when a preacher starts talking about who to vote for. I think it's a very, very, very simple election this year. Very simple. Donald Trump has made it pretty simple. 16 or 17 others in the race. He has ultimately been vindicated as the leader in relationship to the Republican ticket. He doesn't buy all that is said behind closed doors with the Washington and the New York elitist. So therefore, they're pretty upset with him because of his position. But we have a choice between Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. And keep in mind, the next president will be responsible for appointing somewhere between two and as high as the possibility of five Supreme Court justices over the next 4 to 8 years of his tenure in office. Therefore, we need to be very careful. Keep in mind, when the lawmakers just issued their 800-page report on the Benghazi fiasco, they called the Benghazi report. They charged, contrary to what you're hearing on the drive-by media, they charged Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama with lying and cover-up. Lying and cover-up. Now, my question is, would you want that kind of a person to sit in the White House as the president? Let me just read you a little headline from the news on that subject. On Tuesday, two Republican members of the House Select Committee on Benghazi issued a separate report in which they concluded Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and President Obama lied and covered up to protect themselves politically from voter resentment over the terror attack that killed Ambassador Chris Stevens and three other Americans in Benghazi. And even to this date, she does not want to take the responsibility of what took place in Benghazi, where we had four Americans slaughtered by the jihadists, and yet there has been a cover-up. You know, she tried to say that it was some wicked, evil, anti-Muslim video that had been circulating on the Internet. And within an hour of saying that publicly, she communicated with her daughter, Hillary's daughter, and said that we know that it's a jihadist terrorist attack in Benghazi. But may I remind us, these things are important. And I don't want to take that off the top burner, but I want us to discuss it. You can call us at 401-1413, 401-1413. The first three callers will receive Is Islam Tolerant, a 325-page, 25-chapter book on Islam. But let me say to you, the top story at this moment in Jacksonville is the graft, listen carefully, the graft and fraud taking place in our city. Now, listen carefully. You might want to differ from me, and that's perfectly right. It's my opinion. My opinion, that there's graft and fraud all the way from the mayor's office throughout city council. We've got 19 city council members, and they just voted yesterday 18-1 to put the slot machines gambling on the November referendum ballot for the citizens to vote for in a ballot referendum. Well, you know, there used to be someone on television, an old movie, and I've forgotten who it was. I think it was Gomer Pyle, that used to say, surprise, surprise, surprise. Well, let me say, though it might sound redundant, surprise, surprise, surprise. 11 of the 18 city council members voting to put the slots on the referendum for the destruction, further destruction of morals and ethics and values in our city, 18 of them had received funds in their campaign. 11 of the 18 had received funds in their campaign. I call it bribe money. You look up Florida Statute 838.015, and you find what a bribe is. It's where a leader, governmental leader, councilman or otherwise, accepts money in advance of a political race on the premise that he will vote for a bill or put legislation forth that you have wanted him to do based on your contribution. Now, I understand that there's a fine line that you have to analyze, and it's a splitting of hairs almost to determine, did a person accept bribes? Or did he simply, with good conscience, decide to take the money in order to run his campaign? Well, I could say a whole lot's there with that because we've had that to happen before in Jacksonville. 13 of the city council members out of the 19, they wanted to postulate an HRO, an expansion of the sodomite bill in our city, did so as a result of having taken money in their campaign. And I personally call it bribe money. I personally call it pay for play. Money that is accepted in order to push some ballot initiatives and or some resolutions or ordinances through in our city. But may I remind us, this has taken place in our city. Gambling. May I remind us, the gambling kingpin and associated groups in Jacksonville, those receiving the payoff for the vote, pay to play, as I call it. Here's a major, major article. I'm going to read excerpts for our understanding so that I do not get it convoluted and or incorrect. The title of the article by News 4 Jax says, Mayor and 11 city council members received donations from Best Bet. Best Bet is a gambling house that is owned and controlled by Howard Corman that also owns the dog race tracks in the city of Jacksonville and a peripheral area. And Best Bet is the one that will have the benefit of a citywide referendum that you'll have the privilege of voting and saying yes to destroy the morals and the values in our homes. They're talking about putting 2,000 slot machines in Best Bets. And by doing so, we're going to find everything that will increase in our city in relationship to the increase of welfare, increase of domestic abuse, increase of hunger for children, increase of foreclosures of homes, the increase of divorce, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, if this thing passes. But listen, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. According to this article from News 4 Jax, the company that would operate slot machines in Jacksonville, if approved by voters of the Florida voters and the Florida Supreme Court, donated $17,500 to the campaigns of the mayor and current city council members when they were running for office last year. And the list, by the way, is pretty telling. Let me just read you that list. Aaron Bowman received $1,000. Aaron Bowman is also one of the major co-sponsors of the HRO that Tommy Azuri had introduced. Tommy Azuri, by the way, on this list, received $2,000 from the gambling industry in our city. Anna Lopez Brochet received $2,000, and she also was one of the major proponents of pushing and shoving for the HRO to go through. Bill Gulliford received $500. Dennis Garrett Dennis, $1,000. Greg Anderson, $1,000. John Cressenby received $1,000. Joyce Morgan received $1,000. Lenny Curry, our supposed conservative mayor, received $4,000. Matt Schellenberg, $1,000. Reginald Gaffney, $2,000. Scott Wilson, $1,000. And Tommy Azuri, $2,000, making a grand total of $17,500. Doyle Carter, bless his heart, thank you for Doyle Carter. Doyle Carter was the only one that dissented. He said he voted against it for personal reasons. And I quote Doyle Carter, "In the beginning, when I started in 1999, I always voted no on gambling or liquor. It's just something that I've always done." We need more men like that. We need more that will take the kind of stand that he's taken. May I remind us, they're talking about this gambling, putting in the slots, saying that it'll bring in several hundred jobs. It'll bring in jobs that are paying $50,000 a year. And wow, they're saying that they will take the tax money from these gambling slot machines and will be able to help our roads and our bridges and our potholes and our streets and our drains and take care of things that our tax money is supposed to be taken care of now, if we're not squandered with everything that they want to spend it on, padding the pockets of those that they are supposed to be passing the legislation and the bills for. Recently, and I'll talk about this on the radio tomorrow on our broadcast, because somebody's just been required to repay $211,000 because they also had the fast track with the purse strings in our city to make decisions on how the money would be spent. They're saying here, quote, in this article from News 4 Jax, "It's an opportunity, like I said. It's all about jobs, bringing jobs to Jacksonville," said Councilman Aaron Bowman, the sponsor of the bill. He's also the one that helped sponsor and co-sponsor the one on the HRO, the Human Rights Ordinance, as it is called, the expansion of that, which simply gives special exception for the sodomites in our county. And the ones that are voted for and had that bill they were trying to push through, same as this with the slots machines, they are responsible for receiving thousands upon thousands of dollars from the sodomite movement in our city. I say shame on our leadership. Shame on those that are elected that's supposed to be representing 100% of the people. Shame on a mayor that will take money from the gambling apparatus and then have someone in the city council to introduce legislation for it. Who are these movers and shakers? Howard Corman, controls the dog tracks at Jacksonville Gambling. Allison Corman Shelton is the daughter, and she is in the mayor's inner circle as the director of the Intergovernmental Affairs Office. Howard Corman owns Best Bet, where 2,000 slot machines are planned to be put in if this passes in the referendum. With the non-compete clause, if it passes in the referendum, the non-compete clause that others cannot open up slot machines in Duval County. He will be the sole controller, the sole operator. How is it that we pass legislation or propose legislation that will benefit one person and one person's family in an entire city of 840 square miles with over 1.25 million people, with 99% of the people against such garbage that will destroy our families? Let me tell us once again, in every city, in every state, any county where you pass this type of garbage, that is the slot machines, it's as bad, if not worse, than the things that were passed several years ago, the lotto that was supposed to put extra money by the hundreds of millions of dollars in education. It's not done so yet. Education is still in the bargain basement in the state of Florida, as is in America. But if we pass any type of legislation that approves slots, every city that does it, the welfare rolls skyrocket. You say, Doc, why is that so? Because fathers and mothers that will work will get off from work, cash their paycheck, and put every dollar they can put their hands on in the slot machines, thinking that the next pull, the next game, the next slot, I'll be a winner, until there's no money. And then there's no money on the table for groceries. There's no money to pay for anything that's needed. Spats and fights start in the home. Thus, domestic abuse increases. Divorce will increase. Hungry children will increase. Increase of foreclosures because moms and dads cannot even pay the mortgage or the rent for their home. Increase of divorce will skyrocket. And this is as a result of pushing legislation for the special interest groups. I don't know about you, but I'm tired. I'm fed up with the special interest groups in Duval County running our city. And by the way, the Bible is very clear. It says in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 23, speaking of those that get involved in the right being wrong and wrong being right, et cetera, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. That's what happens when you have people that is receiving pay to play, when there is someone that can pay enough. Oh, you can call it a political contribution. You can call it a campaign contribution. You and I are wise enough to understand. We might have been born at night, but not last night. We didn't fall off the turnip wagon yesterday to think that someone can say that this is for the betterment of our city, that we're going to have more funds for the streets and the drains and the bridges and the repairs. The ad valorem taxes and the taxes on your home and my home, the taxes that's paid by the general citizens in this city should take care of that need. And it could if we didn't have folks dipping in the till with the favorite buddies getting paid for special projects or special contracts that eats our city's budget completely up. May I remind us, this is a special interest legislation, and every citizen that's listening need to call the mayor's office, bombard the switchboard, and demand that this be withdrawn. Call city council, every member that received tainted dollars from the gambling industry, the Howard Corman Group, and his daughter that's right in the inner circle in the mayor's office, and insist that the city council go back and revisit this, withdraw their vote, and change their mind for the benefit and the blessing and the salvation for our city. I don't want to see our city further denigrated and destroyed. May I remind you, you may be taken aback and you say, why? I don't understand. I didn't know these things were happening. Need to get involved. The scripture says that we're to be salt and light. Salt means that we are a something that helps to prevent decay. We're a preservative. Light is something that shows light on darkness. We're in a dark world, a dark city, a dark society, and we're in a society that's decaying from within. It is literally rot that is taking place. We elect people and put them in city council, and we say to them, run our city. Look out for 100% of us, not just some of us, not just the 1% or 2% that may be in the gambling industry, or the 1.5% or less percent that may be identified as the sodomite community. I'm not interested in taking care of that 1%. I'm interested in taking care of 100% of our city and not try to lie to the general public to get things of this nature passed. May I remind us there's a need to get involved. Call city council, call the mayor's office, and say absolutely no, no, no to slots in our city. Now, there's one final thing that I want to talk about. Changing the tune, changing the course, changing the tempo a little bit. Perhaps you know of Tim Tebow, wonderful, wonderful Christian gentleman, former NFL star who made a name for himself in part for his public display of love for God, love for the country. Recently, and perhaps you've heard it on television or the news, I don't know, but the title of the article says Tim Tebow is hailed for prayer aid in an airplane to an airplane passenger. He was on an airplane. A gentleman was slumped over. You could tell he was having heart problems. And a person has written, a passenger on that plane, Tim Tebow is not tooting his own horn, blowing his own whistle, or talking about himself, but a person by the name of Richard Gotti in his Facebook post detailing what happened. And I quote from Richard Gotti, "I have to share this story. I was traveling on Delta when there was a medical emergency on board," he wrote. "An older gentleman began to having what appeared to be heart problems, and he went unconscious. I watched strangers from all over the world and every ethnicity come to help this man for over an hour, whether it was chest compression, start an IV, helping him breathe, get breathing, et cetera, or praying everyone help. Still, the man had no pulse," Gotti said. "But no one gave up," he went on. "I observed people praying and lifting up the man to the Lord in a way that I've never seen before. The crew of Delta Airlines was amazing. They acted in fast and professional manner. And then Tebow entered the scene," he said. "Listen, all of a sudden," Gotti went on, "I observed a guy walking down the aisle. That guy was Tim Tebow. He met with the family as they cried on his shoulder. I watched Tim pray with the entire section of the plane for this man. He made a stand for God in a difficult situation," end quote. Gotti said as soon as the plane touched down in Phoenix, Arizona, the man's pulse returned. I made a little note, pray for this man, pray for Tim. Thank you for a person that's willing to take a public stand and not being afraid to let others see, I love Jesus, I depend on God for strength, and I'm praying for this man that I don't even know. I say, thank you, Tim Tebow, for taking that kind of stand. And I say, may we increase in number that we're not embarrassed to pray over our meals, we're not embarrassed to pray publicly, we're not embarrassed for others to know they have a relationship with Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Thank you for tuning in today. I look forward to our broadcast tomorrow when we meet once again on the air as we face the issues. Thank you and God bless you. Have a great evening.
Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.